get started, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll have a moment of reflection. We have some guests in the audience today. Mary, would you be the one to lead us in the Pledge of the Flag tonight? I'm sorry, next time I'll send you a memo. Roll call, please, and acknowledgement of guests. We'll start on my far left.
Buddy Roger Rice, Student Services, and with us this evening, I'm pleased to introduce Coordinator of Student Competitions, Mr. John Tarkany, Director of Charter School Support and Oversight, Dr. Richard Urias. Okay, I just promoted Mr. Richard Urias. Also, I'm pleased to introduce some folks from the charter schools that are here to support their peers. We have Brenda Prisky from Mates, Mary Galvin from Ventura Charter, and Lisa Hildebrand from Ventura Charter. And from Bridges, presenting their programmatic audit this evening, Terry Childs and Juliet Herman. And Richard will be introducing the rest of their team at the time of the presentation. So welcome, everybody.
Valerie Chrisman, Associate Superintendent, Educational Services.
Good evening. Rachel Ulrich, representing Area 1.
Good evening. Marty Bates, representing Area 2.
Good evening, Dean Kunicki, Area 4.
Good evening, Stan Manson, County Superintendent. I would also like to recognize the young lady sitting behind John and Richard. That's Mary Samples, Director of our SELPA, Assistant Superintendent for our SELPA, and you'll be hearing a lot from her at the April 17th budget study session. And on my far right is Ms. Nancy Ackerman, my Executive Assistant.
Good evening, Marshall Segura, Area 3.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ron Flores, Trustee, Area 5.
Thank you. We have no public comments tonight. We have, approval of the agenda, please.
So moved.
Mr. Bates first.
A question before yes. I do a second. On item L1, we have actually two items. We have the petition for charter and a programmatic audit. I'll just curious as to what order they would be sent in.
Dr. Rice, what is your pleasure?
The programmatic audit to give the board the most information possible prior to making a decision.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll second the motion.
First by Mr. Bates, second by Mr. Flores. Any opposed? Passes 5-0. We have no public comments, no hearings under item C. We have no closed session tonight. Now we'll move into item E, approval of the minutes from the regular meeting of March 13th.
Moved.
Second.
Dr. Lissabar first, Mr. Bates second. Any objections? The minutes are approved. Correspondence.
Mr. Matthews,
anything at this stage to him?
Nothing at this time.
All right. President and board members' reports. We'll start down with Mr. Flores.
I just want to report out that I had a chance to be a judge at the migrant speech and debate tournament. We call it our budget study session. Mr. Joe Mendoza came and gave us an update on that program. Just an amazing set of students. And again, this is a program that I highly encourage all. We can support as much as possible, and again, special thanks to Mr. Mendoza for just putting on an amazing tournament.
No report.
Ms. Hart? Just that we will be having our county science fair on Wednesday. And I will be a judge. Hopefully we have enough judges this year. And guys are all invited to join us on Wednesday at the county fairgrounds.
You're still running light on judges?
We're doing pretty good.
Oh, good.
Last I heard it was 35, right?
Too much pressure.
Actually, 120
down
per
head.
Wow. Okay.
That is good. Good job, Rachel.
Mr. Bates. Just briefly, I have the pleasure of watching second and third graders, I believe, do a play at Bridges Charter School on.
Character counts, more or less, right?
Yes.
There you go.
And it was delightful.
Okay, and I have nothing to report out legislatively. Unfortunately, or fortunately, if you look at it, I was up in Canada doing a little fly fishing with a Make-A-Wish child, so it was rewarding time and fun, but glad to get back to duty here. Superintendent's report?
Actually, I want to back up to upcoming
all right.
events.
Fire away.
Ms. Ackerman wants to make sure that I asked which board members specifically are planning to attend the VCSBA dinner meeting. That would be April 20th.
Thank you, Ms. Ulrich.
Ms. Ulrich?
Yes, that's Monday. Yes.
Mr. Bates?
I cannot.
I'm on my calendar.
Okay. Dr. Lissenberg?
I'm in Kathmandu.
Not coming
Flores.
Back?
That's no excuse. I will not be in Kathmandu, so yes, I will be attending.
All right. You have your answer.
Thank you.
And in terms of superintendent's report, we do have a few items for you tonight. On page one, you will notice what we do as our practice is when we are pursuing a grant and when we have enough time to tell you ahead of time. We do that, and we're pursuing a tobacco use prevention consortium grant, which will be worth just under $2 million, and that's in cooperation with a number of our school districts in Ventura County. This is not the first time we've done this. We received a $1.7 million grant previous to this. And also in the last paragraph, our Leadership Support Services Department is looking for a $6,500 grant to support changes required in obtaining an administrative services credential. So we want to let you know that.
Just thank you. Is there any reason on the first item that all school districts don't participate with us in the tobacco free study?
Dr. Wilson?
Some school districts apply on their own, so they are, the larger districts are participating, but the smaller districts really like the consortium approach and our support.
So. Like the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The next is invitation to Inspiration to Innovation Awards for the BC Innovates program. You'll recall that's connected to the Career Pathways Trust grant at Spanish Hills Country Club on May 7th. That was not in your upcoming events. Also, an advisory from School Services of California regarding a very timely question with regard to the Williams settlement, because you may recall that that lawsuit settlement required that we verify that students have appropriate instructional materials, not only in school, in the classroom, but at home as well, or that they can take them home. And so the question becomes, what about digital and electronic media? And the answer is the same thing applies. So it may be a little bit more of a challenge in some cases, but I thought you might want to know about that. Also, the recent partnership agreement with Naval Base Ventura County received a commendation from Congresswoman Julia Brown. That's included in the packet as well. A response letter from our district attorney, Greg Totten, regarding Bridges Charter Schools. Review by the Fiscal Crisis Management Assistance Team, and they have been following up, and they've been having extensive conversation with Mr. Urias with regard to the employee or employees involved in that situation. We received a recognition of our exemplary data management with regard to CalPADS, which is the student identifier program that is required statewide. And speaking of charters, I wanted to let you know that we are anticipating that this Sunday there will be a rather extensive article on charter schools in Ventura County. We don't know whether that article or the Easter Bunny will get the front page on Sunday. But that should be something the board should be looking toward.
Is that an article that you got to participate in?
I did not personally. Mr. Urias did. Yes.
I'm just wondering if that's a trigger because of some of the pending state laws to start locking down on charter schools a bit. Is that why the press has gotten interested in this, or is it just an anomaly?
I think it's a general lack of understanding from the school community. It's the question that we raised that all you guys need to do.
Is this Acorn paper or
stuff? No, this is the Ventura County Star. And then finally, our own board member, Dr. Mark Lissador, and his lovely wife, Terry, are recognized as community champions. We wanted to see that article on their largesse to Cal State University of Chatham Islands.
Congratulations, but next time, can you not have the late show?
I know.
Very nice.
Are you in Vancouver? Is this up in British Columbia?
I'm not saying that.
I think it's a wonderful thing, Dr. Lissador. Thank you.
For sure.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Any legislative reports from any board members? Ms. Haller?
No.
Ms. Bates?
None.
Dr. Clark? Dr. Lissador? None for me. Are you confused, ma'am?
No, not at this time.
Move on to item J, consent action calendar. Look for a motion to approve all in one fell swoop.
I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
First by Ms. Hallward, second by Mr. Bates. Any opposed? Passes 5-0. We'll move on to our next item, under presentations, high school equivalency test, the discussion information item. Mr. Andrew?
Yes, I would invite Dr. Rice to open this up and preparatory to a brief presentation by Mr. Urias and Mr. Tarkin.
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. Without stealing our presenter's thunder, I wanted to share with you that we are in the midst of a sea change in terms of the modes that one might earn a high school equivalency diploma. And in the past, there was one mode, and it was called the GED, and that therefore it's become synonymous with the high school equivalency diploma.
Blank.
And one might think of the soda versus Coke analogy, where everybody just starts calling soda Coke. Well, the high school equivalency diploma is no longer just the GED, so we need to do the best we can to educate the community. And part of that is coming before you and catching you up to speed on everything that's going on. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Richard.
John? John's really the expert on our GED testing program that we've had here at PCOE, primarily for the Sheriff's Department and probation. They play a large role in assisting those folks with getting their high school equivalency certificate. What's happening right now in the state of California is GED did have a monopoly on testing for many, many years. How many years, John?
Since 1942.
Since 1942. So much so that people assumed the GED meant general equivalency diploma, when in reality it meant general education development. And the diploma that the students get, or the certificate the students get, is actually called a high school equivalency certificate. What we're trying to do, and what we've done, is we've shared with several other boards and other folks this information. One, so that people are aware of what's going on in their current and their knowledge, but also so that we avoid the reference Dr. Rice made that instead of calling it Coke, that we actually call it a Pepsi or RC Cola or what have you. John, why don't you step in? Can I share a little bit?
Well, essentially, as Mr. Urias mentioned, we've had the GED since 1942. It was first instituted to give our soldiers returning from overseas an opportunity to earn a high school equivalency certificate. In 2013, GED decided to go with computer-based only testing format, which, as you can imagine, is a little problematic in a corrections environment where we primarily test. So what they did in response to that was they gave us a one-year waiver until June 30, 2014 to get up to speed and introduce computers and internet into our corrections facilities. We still weren't able to do that, so they gave us another extension until June 30th of 2015. They completely removed the paper option and do not want to go back to the paper option. So in response to that, and also in response to some concerns addressed by Dr. Rice, the group that...
One of the things I would share about that is at the time that we were told that the GED was going to a computer-based only model and also changing their fee structure to one that was not feasible for pretty much anybody to even recover their costs, because they limited the fees that you could charge and they made it so that you could only reimburse directly to the testing agency, was that the Student Programs and Services Steering Committee of CESESA, which I was chairing this past year, invited the CDE to come and present. And they solicited our input, and we told them that we agreed with their pending action, which was to put out an RFP to try to solicit competitors. And that RFP is what led to the newly approved test that John has announced. So we're actually very pleased with the development. There's going to be increased competition, increased modes of taking the test, a better fee structure, and all of that. So we're actually very pleased about this development, and I'll let John continue. But the reason I wanted to jump in is just to say that it wasn't done in isolation. We were asked our opinion, and we did press them to try to give us more options than forcing us to remain with the GED.
So as a result, we now have three opportunities to attain a high school equivalency certificate. One is through a California Testing Bureau, McGraw-Hill, it's called TASC. The other is the Educational Testing Services in partnership with the Iowa Testing Programs, and that's called HiSET. And then there's the original GED, which again is still computer-based only. TASC and HiSET both came in with a both computer and paper-based version of their high school equivalency test. In addition, they came in for half the price of what GED is charging. Obviously, we wanted to look at the quality and the content of the test before we made a decision on which one we would go with, even though we knew we couldn't implement a computer-based version in the correctional facilities. So we took a look at the TASC and the HiSET, and it's about a 20-page document that I boiled down to the five slides for you. But essentially, when we looked at the key points, such as what was the format, did the format differ widely between the three tests, and all the formats were pretty much the same. We then looked at whether or not they were aligned to the Common Core standards and the College and Career Readiness standards, and they all three do. And HiSET's actually going even further in year over year, implementing a little more and a little more and a little more. We also looked at test preparation materials, both free and fee-based test preparation materials, to see what was available for students who might not have the money to pay for test preparation materials or to pay for a facility that can provide test preparation materials. HiSET has a great many free materials on their website, practice tests, that sort of thing, to break down what's in it. And TASC does the same thing. GED also has a very robust free portion. One of the nice things about it is, irregardless of which of the three you look at for study materials, it will all help you prepare for all three of these tests. We also looked at the testing fees. Now, the testing fees in the state of California, CDE automatically gets a $20 per test applicant fee. So TASC is $72, counting that $20 fee. And HiSET is $70, counting that $20 fee. GED came in at $140, counting that $20 fee. The next area we looked at is what transition requirements would be incumbent upon us to implement any of these three. So with TASC, we really weren't sure because TASC is not actually up and running in the state of California yet. They're working on their contract and working out some details with CDE. HiSET is up and running, and essentially HiSET is a part of ETS, Educational Testing Services, who for several years ran the GED. Matter of fact, they just turned the GED over to Pearson Testing in 2013. So they're very familiar with the GED and the process, and they're also very familiar with all the proctors and chief examiners across the state. As a result, they're grandfathering in all of the proctors and test examiners across the state that go with HiSET. So no transition requirements. In addition, it reduces our costs. HiSET will not be charging for test booklets, testing materials, test answer sheets, or test mailing. They just charge a flat $70 fee to pay for the test. That $70 fee also includes two free sub-test retakes during the same year that the test taker is taking the test. GED offers two retakes for a reduced amount, and TASC also offers two free sub-test retakes during the course of the year. If we had gone with the GED, if we'd even gotten the correction services to get on board with us, implementing computer-based testing in their facilities, it would have cost us approximately $10,000 to buy the laptops, the signature pads, the photo equipment that you need to identify the students. And with us providing the high school equivalency testing to our corrections departments, it's pretty much a break-even wash program. There is no profit in it. They cover our time and the test fees, and that's it. The flyer that was handed out to you gives you some indication of the type of high school equivalency programs here in Ventura County. We're happy to announce Ventura County Office of Ed still offers both options, GED computer-based or high-set paper and computer-based. We're working on implementing the computer-based portion once we're very happy with the paper-based section of it. You can take the computer-based through our CEC program. They're part of Pearson U testing, so anybody that would like to take the GED on the computer can do it through them. And then the corrections is pretty much my focus with the probation department and the sheriff's department. We've also listed the other adult education programs in the county that offer high school equivalency preparation and test opportunities, along with phone numbers and website information. And that flyer will be converted into a web page and be attached to Mr. Udius' testing website. Any questions?
Any questions from board members?
Thank you very much for doing this.
Because Mr. Leary has set you up at the beginning. He said, you were the expert. That's called a wiggle clause. In case you hit him with something he wasn't sure of.
John is the expert, and we are putting a flyer on the website just because as word gets out, we anticipate some confusion or some folks need some clarification. Of course, we want to make sure that the Turkey Office of Education that we provide that clarification for them. So we're going to have that as well as a link to email or phone number if they have questions to help everybody in the community.
I do have one question. How many...
I'll take care of it, Richard.
Whatever we're going to call this now. It used to be GED, but how many of these in Ventura County do we have per year?
How many opportunities to test?
How many students that actually...
I don't know the numbers for all the adult education sites, but for the Ventura County Office of Education, we provide the test for about 100 individuals per year.
And what percentage of those pass?
For probation, it is about 75%, and for the Ventura County Sheriff's Office, it's about 95%.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Tom. Just so the folks know, we weren't ignoring your presentation. We have screens down here where we can see what they're presenting, so that I can keep turning around. And I will tell you, Mary's a very sweet lady, and we hate to separate education from charter schools. I don't know why Mary's all off by her poor self over there.
I think educators like their comfort zones like a lot of people do. She takes that spot frequently.
Okay, she's got $1 million smile. She's a sweetheart. If you don't know her, get to know her. Second item on here we're moving into now is going to be item L, discussion information action item, submission of charter petition renewal request and review of annual programmatic audit, presentation of Bridges Charter School. Mr. Mantu?
Once again, I'm going to hand off to Dr. Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. Mr. Udius is here at the podium to get us started, and we'll stall just a second to let our representatives of Bridges come on up to the front and prepare themselves for their presentation. I just want to say that it actually has been a pleasure working with Bridges leadership throughout this semester in preparing for the programmatic audit and the presentation of their renewal petition. They've been very responsive in putting together their proposal and running drafts by us to include some of the required changes to the petition, which they can address or Richard can address as we move through the presentation, and we anticipate a very informative event this evening. So Richard, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Yes, I'd like to make a few additional introductions. Dr. Rice did introduce Ms. Herman and Ms. Chow, interim director and board president. We also have some additional teachers and employees here. Morgan Martinson, a music teacher, is here. Marnie San Jose, a homeschool teacher, is here. Veronica Freeman, Cassandra Maley, and Carissa Taylor, also teachers at Bridges, and they're here this evening, as well as the office manager, Kathy Hans. Kathy Wood. And without any further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Julie Herman for the program that
Good evening. President Kanicki, esteemed board members, Dr. Rice, Dr. Christman, it is a pleasure to stand before you and present the annual programmatic audit and charter renewal for Bridges Charter School. I want to extend a special thank you to Mr. Bates, who visited Bridges last week for a tour. As I told Mr. Bates during his visit, Bridges is all about community. Indeed, our tagline is whole child, whole family, whole community. Because we live these values, the presentation tonight will not be me alone, reading you statistics or extolling the virtues of a Bridges education. Rather, this will be a community effort. This evening, you will hear from our board president, you will hear from a teacher, you will hear from students. We also want to just give you a brief introduction. Thank you, Mr. Urias, for introducing the people, some of the people who are with us. But I also wanted to just let you know we have other supporters in the house. So if I could have, let's see, the other board members who are here stand up. Thank you so much. And parents who are here stand up as well. Thank you so much. We also have our wise and eloquent advisors who are here. Can you please stand up for a moment? Ellen Smith. And Christina Duran, Dr. Christina Duran. Thank you so much. Let's begin with a brief background of Bridges. We are a kindergarten through eighth grade charter school located in Thousand Oaks, California, on the old Park Oaks campus in the Conejo Valley Unified School District. We house both a standard campus-based school as well as a hybrid home school. Because families join Bridges not for its location but for its philosophy, we draw students from several school districts. Approximately 70% of our students come from the Conejo Valley, while about 30% are mainly from Simi Valley and Moore Park schools. We do draw students from other surrounding districts as well. Of the students from the Conejo Valley, they come from all over. However, at Aspen, Glenwood, Ladera, Wethersfield, Wildwood, and Redwood Middle School seem to have the highest population of students currently attending Bridges. At Bridges, we embrace a whole child education, which seeks to balance a child's academic needs with their social and emotional development. At Bridges, not only do we empower children to solve their own conflicts, we teach them interpersonal relationship skills of being a strong member of a larger school community. Our vision is to create a K-8 learning community in which all teachers, parents, and students partner to support the cognitive, emotional, and social success of our students, where there exists positive, respectful, and peaceful collaboration, and where children are enabled to be empowered to become lifelong learners and compassionate global citizens. Our expected school-wide learning results were developed in our first phase of our WASC implementation approximately 18 months ago. Our ESLRs include both academic goals as well as social and emotional developmental milestones, and they are aligned with Common Core. Our enrollment history. Bridges has been growing. We began the first year with 170 campus-based students, and now we're up to over 350. This growth demonstrates the desire for a school that embraces a strong community feel, as well as an active, project-based learning environment where students are encouraged to explore and achieve. Our retention rate is strong and healthy, and although things were challenging in the beginning, we now have a stable, focused, and cohesive school environment. This has led to our current ADA of over 97%. This demonstrates both a positive school culture as well as strong teachers. As you can see from our demographics, we have some work to do in order to achieve a student population that is a bit closer to both the Conejo Valley and Simi Valley demographically. We have been working closely with the VCOE and our other local charter school network to strategize alliances with local agencies that may help us to encourage more minority families to join our community. Our goal is to continue to diversify our ethnic makeup through ongoing outreach. When we look at our populations for special education and low-income students, however, Bridges is fairly well aligned with the local districts. While our current English learner population is approximately 7% lower than CBUSD, We anticipate it will increase as we continue to target local residents into our program. As of the last API in 2013, Bridges scored an 850. We are pleased about the academic growth we demonstrated over the 3 years that the data was measured. Here you will see our academic performance in English and language arts broken down by grade. And here you will see our performance in math. We continue to monitor student academic growth even as the state works to refine the process of determining API. We have specific growth outcomes in the areas of English language arts and mathematics. To that end, we have adopted a local standards-aligned assessment called Let's Go Learn. We have just begun implementation of this new assessment this year in language arts. We will continue to utilize this instrument and multiple measures to monitor student achievement. Based on our local assessment, Let's Go Learn, our mid-year reading results look fairly strong. It also demonstrates to us the areas where targeted intervention is still needed. We will continue to refine our instructional practices to ensure that every student is demonstrating academic growth. I would like to introduce our third grade teacher, Ms. Heather Ryan, to speak more about data-driven instruction and Let's Go Learn.
Good evening. Okay, so as you see on our slide there, you have some children utilizing Let's Go Learn. This was, it's a K-8 instructional piece that we're using in order to meet our LCAP as well as WASC accreditation. It is something that we are kind of in the pilot phase being our first year, but we obviously are doing something right because I'm pleased to announce that Let's Go Learn personally asked us to go to the recent California Charter School Association and present on their product to all the other districts. So we are being used currently as a model school for this data and how we drive our instruction. And then further than that, we're going into more project-driven learning by taking this information and where kids need their support or their enrichment. We then can build inquiry-based models that interest children, take what they need, put them together to their essential question, like I have trimester essential questions, and then do project-driven learning and project-based assessments at the end. Thank you. The other slide that I'd like to just briefly talk about, those are my third graders. As Ms. Juliet, as we call her, mentioned, we have a global citizenship path for our children. We like to be out in our community and out in the world at large. So you will see our third graders, they are doing crafts with our local seniors at the holiday time. This is a mobile home that works with all different seniors that have dementia and Alzheimer's. Additionally, K-8 has the opportunity to meet with a Tanzania sister school and has not only provided school supplies to them, they're able to continue their relationship by quintile work. And then finally, we have our middle school children working with Builders Club, obviously sponsored by Kiwanis, and again, going out to the local community and knowing that we have to give something back at all different levels. Thank you, Heather.
I'd now like to introduce Mr. Benny Martinez to give the fiscal report for Bridges.
Good evening. Similar to the other charter schools that also started in 10-11, Bridges had to pave their way through the economic crisis, the Great Recession, etc. And so, as you can tell by some of the slides, though, we've been able to maintain our fund balances. In fact, they're increasing. But it hasn't been without a little bit of pain, I'll tell you this, is that in year two, we had to institute furlough days, 4 furlough days, the very next year, 10, the year after that, 7, and we're finally down to 2. And so we utilized the budget committee like the other charter schools. And one thing about this particular budget committee that's being run, we're not afraid to make the cuts that are needed. And that's a testimony by any balances that you see there. In addition, this year we're able to pay back our $250,000 charter school revolving loan. And then also during the past 5 years, we were able to utilize a 3-year grant for public charter schools that helped us with startup funds, et cetera. Also, if you can turn to the next slide. Is on the board here, you actually have the most recent second interim report. And for the most part, in the current year, we're showing that we have a fairly balanced budget. We have $64,000 worth of deficit spending on second interim, but there's a good reason for that. We have some one-time expenditures that we're incurring this year, and we have a slight decrease in independent study enrollment. But due to the great budget news that we're getting from Sacramento, our future years look much better. In 15-16, we're expected to have, we're going to be lining up in the black. In 16-17, a slight deficit, but that's only based off of a conservative funding gap and budgeting for the school. But for the most part, the school is in good financial shape. Fund balances are up, and I don't see that changing in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Now I'd like to introduce our board president, Terry Childs, who will speak to you about board governance.
Good evening, everyone. So Bridges Board of Directors is a 7-member board that's elected by parents and teachers. We are responsible for establishing school policies, setting budgets, and overseeing the operations and fiscal affairs of the school. We engage in annual goal setting and monitoring of the progress of those goals. Community board members are a key component, providing an outside perspective. They have helped to facilitate a wider, non-aligned view for the board overall. Another important element is the various committees which the board forms annually based on the goals to be accomplished. This enables focus on specific areas of need. Budget is an ongoing committee, of course. This year's board of directors has a diverse skill set that has served us very well. Although each board member brings a unique perspective, we have a unified vision for student success. The board has shared beliefs and values about what's possible for our students and their ability to learn, and a Bridges ability to teach children at high levels. The board has been consistently revisiting, revising, and adding school policies, enabling Bridges to stay current with the changing external and legal environment. This board has set clear expectations and has held rigorous discussions, leading to robust decision-making. Also, the board has been resolute in the face of change. We are steering a measured, steady course dedicated to maintaining the continuity of the school's core values. We've been working as a united team with Julia Herman as acting principal, and support from Ellen Smith and Dr. Nancy Carroll, with strong collaboration and mutual trust. The process for recruiting and hiring the next director of Bridges Charter School is underway and will be completed by mid-June. Thank you.
When I took over leadership of Bridges in January, no one could have predicted the challenges that we would face. We were able to clean up our child care program extensions, work collaboratively with CBUSD on a facilities agreement, create a transparent flow of information from administration to the board, cultivate a very positive and collaborative working relationship with the VCOE, and institute a sense of shared leadership with the creation of a leadership advisory team. We have tackled a great deal in just the past 10 weeks. Our parent involvement and leadership continue to be a key component of our program at Bridges. While we do not require volunteerism, we do highly encourage parents to become involved in their child's education. Parents are given a variety of choices in how to help out in the school environment. Many come into our classrooms and work directly with students. Some get involved in our parent-managed cohorts, such as gardening committee, fundraising committee, grant writing committee. Some chaperone field trips, and some bring their professional expertise to the school community. There is a place for everyone in the Bridges community. Communication is key when it comes to parent and community involvement. At Bridges, we have multiple layers of communication strands, including a weekly director's notes, a current information on our website, including our calendar of events, teacher and grade level websites, a parent advisory committee website, and access to Parent Connect and Q so parents can follow their children's academic progress. The Core Academy. We are extremely proud of our middle school program and how it has grown over these last several years. The Core Academy students experience a very high level of academic expertise in our fantastic teaching team. They have leadership opportunities, and the current data suggests a very positive transition to high school. And although I can extol all the virtues of our middle school, how much better would it be than to hear from students? So I'd like to introduce to you Anderson San Jose, Natanya Koshi, and Abigail Garcia, who will share their thoughts with you about a Bridges education.
Hi, I'm Anderson San Jose. I've been at Bridges since it opened, and I was in second grade then. I'm now in sixth grade, and I've enjoyed my years at Bridges. In Core Academy, we have three teachers, Ms. Bonnie, who teaches science, Ms. Carissa, who teaches humanities, and Ms. Cindy, who teaches math. I enjoy all the classes. In science, we do a lot of labs, which are like experiments in class that have to do with what we are learning. So we'll do some like tsunami lab if we're studying tsunamis, stuff like that. In humanities, we do a lot of projects and reports that are all really fun. We just finished doing a Greek mythology project. In math, we're learning about a lot of fun things like Fibonacci, pi, the golden ratio, etc. So yeah, I've enjoyed my years at Bridges. And yeah, thank you for your time.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Natanya. I'm a student. I'm a student in the Bridges Core Academy. I've been at Bridges for the past 5 years. One of my favorite things at Bridges is our project-based learning. Through that, we complete research and create visual aids to present to our classmates. Another cool thing at Bridges is our flipped classroom. We use a website called Edmodo where our math and science teachers assign us videos and articles to read. And then we have to write or summarize the questions that our teachers ask us to complete. At school, we do further research and complete labs and projects, which reinforce the information. I also enjoy how close we are to our teachers. We can always go into our teachers' classrooms at lunch, snack, or after school and receive additional help on any work. At Bridges, we follow the principles of reuse, reduce, and recycle. We have a green team that has Core Academy students that teach younger students about these principles. We practice them very sincerely throughout our school. At Bridges, we also practice conflict resolution. Every Friday, we have Circle, which is a time dedicated to sharing our appreciations and concerns. I feel very lucky to be at Bridges Charter School because of our small community and the way we nurture the whole child.
My name is Abigail, and I have been at Bridges ever since it began, my first day of fourth grade. I will be graduating eighth grade this June. I also have a younger brother. We have both attended for 5 years together. He is currently in fourth grade. One of the main things at Bridges is the interaction between eight different grade levels and kindergarten. For example, every Friday my eighth grade class visits Ms. Alana's third graders and instruct them one-on-one on how to play chess. We were each given a buddy. My first Friday meeting my buddy Kaylee, she had no idea how to play. Now she can almost beat me, and we have become closer and closer every week. We say hi to each other after school or whenever we run into each other, on campus. One of our current all-school events was the triathlon, where the school participated in three events, reading, running, and dancing, all as a fundraiser for the school. The whole day was dedicated to not being in a group with my normal friends, but making new ones in a group I was put in. My favorite activity was dancing for 15 minutes. It was the activity I chose to raise money for. My favorite thing I participate at school is school tours. In the month of January and February, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, parents visit the school and ask students questions in the library. When I first joined the panel of students, I was in sixth grade. My first tour was very scary. And 3 years later, I am now more comfortable in speaking to the public and answering questions about a truly wonderful school I am very lucky to attend.
If that's a cross-section of your students, I think I'm very impressed.
That is. Thank you so much. And I will finish up our presentation with our hybrid homeschool program. At Bridges, our hybrid homeschool program is quite a unique program. Unlike some of the other programs, homeschool independent study programs out there, our students have the opportunity to integrate with site-based students come onto campus twice a week, as well as being part of our larger Bridges community. What's also really wonderful about our homeschool is that many of our parents who also qualify as teachers are teachers in our homeschool program. So it gives us a beautiful wraparound of parents who participate, parents who teach, parents who are responsive to the needs of our entire community. Thank you so much for hearing our presentation and for your ongoing and continued support. I would imagine that you'll have some questions for us.
I noticed you had 10 students on a waiting list. Is there any reason you haven't accommodated them yet?
Because those grade levels are full. So we have a cap in our fourth and fifth grades. Those are our most impacted grades these days. And although we blend those two grades together, I believe at this point we have 38 children in our fourth grade and almost 50 children in our fifth grade. So we want to continue to have that intimate feeling. So if someone were to depart, we would bring one of those children from the waiting list in.
If you have students that are on a waiting list, do you ever coordinate with the other charter schools and maybe send those kids there until they can get into your school?
Sometimes. I find that charter school choice is pretty individual, so we don't echo each other that much. I know that we do share students oftentimes. I know that Ventura Charter School and Bridges sometimes share students. There's a logistical component. They're pretty far away from us, so sometimes that doesn't work for parents. Sometimes parents just make different choices, and they really just want us.
And a question for Mr. Mantu. The young man that was speaking talked about a lot of the lab work and stuff we're doing. Do the charter schools have the ability to participate with us at our facility at Camarillo for any of the programs we have going there that might be an extension of what they're doing in their own schools?
Usually it's a matter of grade level. So we tend to serve and we coordinate activities for older students at that time. However, what we're writing into round two of our application for the Career Pathways Trust Grant version, the second component, would be reaching out to those students, including the charters as well as our regular mainstream school.
Great, as long as some of the grants and getting in with Porter by Meaning now and stuff, I think we have a lot that we can offer out for the charter schools to do something here. Once again, Mr. Matthews has stepped ahead of me. There may be some other questions here. Mr. Bates, seeing that this is your area, would you like to start out on this?
Yeah, first of all, let me reference your question here. Just at the meeting that I attended with some of their board members and some of their teachers, we discussed, as an example, the underwater program through Channel Islands. And I'm sorry to say that BCOE had not made that information available to them. And I was assured that that type of information will be made available to them because they've got a great science project over there. The other thing that I would like to point out, because I had the opportunity to visit the school during this tour, Ms. Garcia referred to their chess program. Tell us a little bit about your chessboard.
Oh,
So in our outdoor classroom, which is located in the center of all of our classrooms, one part of it is a ginormous chessboard, and so all the whole school is able to go and lunch and recess, and all the eighth graders know how to play, so we interact with the younger grades as well and teach them how to play.
But these are child-sized chessmen. they don't move them here, they have to move them.
And how physical fit this.
Yes.
They don't move.
The other thing I would like to request is that one thing that really impressed me was their dispute resolution bridge. Tell this board a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So we call it our peace bridge. It was actually the bridge that was built our very first year in existence. At the end of the school year, we have something called a bridging ceremony where every child walks over the bridge. As we moved into the new campus, a really wonderful parent gave us, built us a bridge, a collapsible bridge that was in pieces so that we could move it to the site where we have our bridging ceremony. So it allowed for the original bridge to become a permanent fixture in our outdoor classroom. One of our third grade teachers last year got together with a group of parents and painted the bridge, so it's now a peace bridge. So on the children go to each side of the bridge, and that's the cool down space. So the stair is painted cool down. Then they step up and they share their feelings about whatever it is that happened. And it's written on the boards on the bridge. Then they step together and they listen to each other's side of the story. And then by the time they come together in the middle, they've come up with a resolution. And what's really powerful is to watch this bridge work without any adult supervision. The kids just know how to do it. It's pretty amazing.
I was impressed with it.
It's like real life. Mm-hmm. You know, you need creative people.
Mm-hmm. I just had one comment, which is I always appreciate seeing your charter school at the CSBA conference. You charter boards, I see. But I had a question with regards to, I know that the academic performance numbers are older, but math has seemed to always been an issue for many of the charter schools, and the academic performance from 2013 for math was pretty low, so have you guys been addressing that, or will test that?
So the movement to Common Core gave us a natural moment to kind of re-examine everything. Our Core Academy math teacher, Cindy McCarthy, is very adept at understanding those middle school needs in terms of math. So it's really our middle school which drives the content in our lower grades as well. So we've got a lot of collaboration, a lot of vertical teaming around our math programs. This year I've offered students, or teachers, I'm sorry, three different math programs to kind of fool around with, one to pilot for real and the other ones to kind of get their hands wet with. So finding good curriculum is a challenge. My teacher Cindy is on the countywide math curriculum committee, so we're very involved in those conversations and continuing to try and support our students in the best way we can.
I might add that Bridges has also been involved with the Ventura County Office of Education Curriculum and Instruction Department and had our math content specialists there to work with you.
Any questions from this side of the board?
I had a question along the lines of LCAP. We had a concern that I've shared multiple times. We can't do anything about it because it has to be fixed by legislation. But for members in the audience, with local school districts, when you put together an LCAP plan, that goes before the board. Their board, which is made up of elected officials, so there's accountability there. In your case, you've been a charter, your LCAP plan is approved by your board, which is not elected by the public. But that being said, my question is, in terms of LCAP development, I'm curious as to how much stakeholder engagement, or what type of stakeholder engagement you had in terms of getting input to put that plan together.
So remember that high parent involvement I talked about? We get a lot of that, and we have been working to coordinate specific teams. and to get a lot of direct feedback. One of the beauties of being a small school is it's kind of easier to corral people, especially from multiple levels, teacher level, student level. You know, it's really amazing to watch our fourth through eighth graders have an intelligent conversation regarding where their school is going, and we definitely have the ability to do that.
No, very nice
presentation.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. Very well done. Again, kudos to the
students. I was joking with Bob in the parking lot that they got drunk out tonight. Full day at school. Now I'm glad you guys showed up.
And homework still to do. My understanding, Dr. Rice, is that this is part one of item L1, and now I would invite you to move on to the renewal portion.
Okay, and at some point, would you like us to, or have the board take action on accepting the programmatic audit, or do both of those at the end?
Pleasure of the board.
We can do it both together at the end.
Okay.
Let's hear the whole thing.
Okay, perfect. So at this point, you know it has been our practice to bring before you a couple of source documents to help you in reviewing of the petition renewal, and one is a copy of the actual petition itself, and the other is a review matrix, which I want to thank Mr. Urias for working with Bridges in helping them to make sure that they included all the required elements, including some of the ones that came out of the most recent issue in their extensions program, and those, it's my understanding that those all have all been addressed. I also want to share, thank Mr. Urias for his work on the review matrix. All of the items which are required have been met. I can assure that with the board, and I'm going to go ahead and let him walk you through each of those two elements, and then we can come back and answer any questions you might have about the petition itself or the review matrix.
Okay, just a couple important items I want to mention to you. First of all, you do have the matrix, and Bridges does meet the renewal criteria for academic achievement. We have met that requirement. On the summary, I kind of go through the petition. I look at some of the changes from 5 years ago. And just a couple quick things I want to point out. One is they are in the process of recruiting a new director. BCOE, Human Resources, is actually heading up that process for them. We're facilitating that for them, and we put together a very nice pamphlet with all the job requirements and information that's been distributed across statewide, as well as handling the interviews for them. Even though the API is a little bit old, when I look at academic achievement, some things stand out, and a couple things that stood out for me was they've had over 100-point Hispanic-Latino increase the last 2 years on their API, which doesn't happen by accident. They've also had about 150-point gain in students with disabilities, so I want to compliment you on that good work. And also just the increase in enrollment, they basically doubled their enrollment the last 5 years, which is another indicator that that good things are going on there, and parents are attracted to that. Other than that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Dr. Rice, would you and Mr. Urias speak to modifications that have been made to the MOU specific to the recent experiences with regard to Bridges Extensions Program?
I'm actually quite pleased that you asked that, to give me an opportunity to share with you that during the past several weeks, Mr. Urias has been meeting with site leadership, including the board. I've been out there more than once, and we've tried to work with them to make sure that all of the recommendations that were in the FICMAT report are being addressed, and they are. We actually received some feedback from the representative of FICMAT, essentially complimenting Richard and also Bridges for moving so quickly to address those items. One of the ideas that I floated to the site leadership team at Bridges was to incorporate some language into the memorandum of understanding the next time we bring it forward to you, to codify some of the recommended changes. For example, making sure that all of the cash handling procedures are in place, to make sure all of the licenses, permits, and those types of things are in place with the child care issues. And I am happy to report that they have been extremely responsive to that, and Ms. Childs has agreed in concept to work with us on that, and we just need to flesh out the language, but we will be bringing that to you quickly, and we think that that will add some a level of accountability that would reassure the board that all of the things that we were dealing with during the FICMAP process would not only be a process for FICMAP, but would be a process for us to provide that level of oversight that you have become accustomed to.
Is it a fair assumption to say that, based on the recent incident at this charter school, that's what generated the interest from the newspaper? Do you feel that's too
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think so at all. I think Gene Moore, the reporter from the Star, was very much interested in addressing the community's lack of knowledge from what she tells me on just charter schools in general. I spent about 45 minutes on the phone with her just asking general things like, or do they have to follow the law, and do they have to have, you know, teacher credentials, and where do they get their money, and how are they funded, and just a whole lot of base level issues. So I think the article that's going to come out is probably going to cover the waterfront on just charters in general. I don't get the feeling that it would be targeted at any particular charter.
Do you know that, did she visit any of the existing charter schools in the county, or did she want to come see ours at the airport?
I did float that invitation, but I don't know that she made that request. After giving her, like I said, almost an hour of overview, I handed her off to Mr. Urias for a follow-up in case she had a specific question, so I don't know if she made that request. Mm-hmm.
She did request to visit specific schools, but she did request for me to put her in contact with not just the BCOE authorized charters, but all the charter schools in Ventura County. So I think she solicited information from them via email and phone calls. I don't know if she personally visited them.
Mr. President?
Yes, please.
I'd like to ask Dr. Rice, could you clarify for me the renewal that we will take action on tonight does not include the MOU review? It's a totally separate.
In the past, what we've done is we've aligned the MOU. Actually, what we've done in the past is as the charter gets its initial approval, the approval is generally given with the condition that the MOU will follow. So they're not actually aligned time-wise, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't put that same stipulation on the renewal, and we would have that forthcoming to you.
And Dr. Rice, I think we didn't rehearse this, but we're on the same page, that typically we use kind of a three-legged stool approach where the entering into the MOU is a condition of renewal, and the MOU must be acceptable to the charter school, to the board, and to VCOE.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we can refer to my notes here. We can approve the renewal of the Bridges Charter School with the understanding that the MOUs will be approved by their board and our staff. Is that correct?
And our board. And you.
And the board.
Accountable.
So it's all subject to coming back.
Does it need to come back?
The MOU would, not the renewal.
Okay.
And I think based on the past history, I'd like to see the new MOU. I'm sure it's going to follow everything that you're doing, but I think it would be just to make sure we take a good solid look at.
So you'd like to have the MOU before we approve the extension on the charter?
No, your approval, if you get granted, is contingent upon that. So if there was not subsequent agreement on the MOU, then the renewal is no longer valid.
Okay.
That's why the contingency. So you can take the action and then receive the MOU at the next meeting.
Hustle on that and get that back to you.
I'm starting the MOU tour tomorrow. I'll be at River Oaks first thing in the morning. It's been a couple hours, and then we'll work on the MOU with Major Bridges a week off here. But then I'll be meeting with them to review that.
This MOU continues to be a work in progress. Charter that we look at, we find something that, wow, that should be cleaned up a little bit for all of our charters. Right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking about the previous one we had, where there were issues and ambiguities.
One of the issues was the was the expulsion appeal. That's a perfect example. That was not in, I don't think, any of the initial MOUs, and then as the board laid that out as a concern, we started adding it as the renewals came in place.
And I think, I guess I kind of understand now the reason we can't do that tonight. Things can come out of this discussion that can create the need for a little adjustment here or there, and that's why it's a separate process.
Okay, am I understanding that the renewal will always be contingent on MOUs, or should it be a part of the motion?
The contingency would be a part of the motion. If someone makes a motion to approve the renewal of Bridges...
But a year from now, we may have another MOU, and it would have to be contingent on the approval of that.
That is correct. We don't want to get in the business of constantly revising MOUs, but if there's a change in statute that we need to recognize or some other situation comes up, you can still have a active charter in force and just renegotiate and agree upon additional wording.
Issue an addendum to it.
Yeah.
Correct. I'll remind the board that we discussed at our last meeting, this is a 5-year renewal. However, this board has the right to withdraw the charter at any time.
I think the school got a clear understanding of that from one of our other meetings.
Yeah, based upon certain conditions and based upon an established process which involves a cure and correct letter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody deserves a due process.
With that, Mr. President, I will move that we approve the renewal.
Before you go ahead, I want to ask an additional question. Dr. Rice can probably answer this to you. Can I assume that because of past history with our last charter school renewal, that the particular area that was brought to contention is discussed fairly in depth with the charter school that's signing on? Because I don't think the other charter school was real happy about it after they signed their MOU, but...
The if you're talking about the expulsion language, yeah. We've been embedding that in the charter petition so that it's part of the 5-year term and it's not going to be a negotiated MOU item. It's actually was embedded in the ROA petition. It's going to be embedded in the Bridges petition. So it's a 5-year commitment they're making to that process.
Well, we heard about a little pushback on the last one. Are you garnering any of that from this school at all?
Well, I think I wouldn't phrase it as pushback. I think it's just more real clarification, wanting to fully understand the scope of the expulsion appeal and making sure that we understand, and which we do, that they can write their own policy. It's not, they don't have to adopt that code. And so our expulsion appeal language speaks to a typical school district, public non-charter school district. So it references that code. That makes me a little nervous because really we focus on their discipline policy. But they know that, we communicate that to them verbally. So I would say it's pushback, it's just more wanting to understand the full scope of the issue and making sure we understand from their perspective that they write their own policies and that's what they want us to look at how they do.
And I might add that we did meet with the representatives, both of the directors who are with us this evening and their board president. They're nodding their head up there. We had a very candid conversation, and we expressed our interest to them very candidly. They shared with us theirs, and we do believe that there's some issues associated with an overall interest in charter schools to maintain the maximum autonomy that they can, but they also understand where the board is coming from, and subject to just clarifying how that works, they've indicated a willingness to work with us, and they actually expressed appreciation for us making time to meet with them and share with them why things played out the way they did. So I thought it was a very productive meeting. So I haven't heard anything of the type with Bridges. They've been completely on board with that, and I think that'll go very smoothly. And as Richard said, it'll be actually worded in the petition language and won't necessarily even need to be in the MOU because it'll be a part of the petition.
And just so the parents and teachers and Bridges understand, the reason I drill down on this and the reason I have concern when I hear the press, because we all know what they can do. They have autonomy to pretty well do what they want.
I will add that at the conference that I attended at Bridges, their directors and their board expressed appreciation for the oversight by the BCOE and really really appreciated the information they got and really want to work as closely as possible with our,
right,
our staff and our board.
I think it's been a philosophy of a lot of the board members up here, and again, I wanted to speak for myself right now, but having approved the first charter school that came through the county, this 3L, years back, what, 7, 8 years ago now, you know, at that time, our staff did a great job on a memorandum of understanding. We literally have had nothing but successes with all our charters. There's been a few little blips along the way, but you have to understand, as much as you folks are enjoying the fact of having a charter school where you have some autonomy and you're not shackled by some of the Ed Code rules and you can have a specific kind of program and get this parental involvement, that's filling a real need in education in my mind. And the last thing I ever want to see on my watch that we have a failed charter school. And that's the reason why I was one of the first ones to approve yours, but I was also the first one to notify you guys I'll have no problem yanking. Because as much of responsibility as I feel to have solid charter schools in this county, I feel a direct responsibility to make sure the parents are getting a fair shake in this whole deal. And I want them to have their freedom of choice, because I think it bodes well and drives competition in education, which is one of the things I think charter schools are doing. So again, I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that I'm really beating you guys up or something. I'm just more concerned because the first time we have a failed charter school, think what's going to happen to the next charter school that wants to come to our county. The failed one will become the poster child that we'll have to deal with, that the press will deal with, and will make every charter school that wants to come thereafter under a stronger microscope and possibly of not getting approved. Hence, the reason we want nothing but successful charter schools here. And based on your students and their testimony tonight, obviously you guys are doing a great job with these guys. And nothing tears up my heartstrings too much to see young kids like this that do these kind of things. And this young lady, I'll tell you, I'm so impressed with the fact that you take on and work with some of the younger kids. Because I can remember back when my daughter was in high school coming home one night crying and saying, "Dad, I don't know what to do, but we have some handicapped kids at school, and the other kids are so mean to them. They throw food at them, they spit at them, I mean, they're just disrespectful." And I challenged her, I said, "What are you going to do about it?" And she started in that high school group where they went out and they adopted into their group one of these kids that was being put upon. It was great for my child's education to understand that you got to help others. That's what life's all about. So you're already a step ahead where my daughter was back in high school at that time. So compliments to you. That's great work. And it will pay you dividends in the future. All right, I'll be quiet. I just wanted you to understand why I still zero in on some of these questions. And thanks for your input in that, Mr. Bates. At this time, I'll call for a motion.
Mr. President, one question.
Yes, please.
Sorry, on this end. Again, I don't mean to nitpick, but it's the engineer nature. And on your renewal petition, page 133, you have an org chart that has board directors, director, and so forth and so on. And again, having the information brought before us about the extensions program, one of my takeaways was that program should have been under the cognizance of the director. And in this org chart, I don't see the program listed at all. So I'm wondering if that's an oversight or is that a change pending?
The extensions part has been rewritten. I didn't look at it in the org chart, but it does exist. It is in the petition. And the scope is something that we're fine with. It's not a daycare program. It's more of a before school and after school program currently.
I might offer, if there's an amendment that we could make that would fix that, we could work with the school to do that. What page are you on?
I'm on page 133.
It was my understanding that as part of the staff of Bridges that was running the extensions before and after program, so it's a continuation of the school.
Mm-hmm. Previously, they were taking care of children, infants, toddlers during the school day.
Right.
Whether that was teachers, children. They still do a little bit of that as parents come in and volunteer. They're able to bring their child and drop them off at the center, which is all allowable for a school to do. Where they got into a situation was the all-day, everyday care of an infant toddler. Now, that is a program that requires licensing through the county, and that they have ceased doing.
And then the money issues, there's no longer
a... There's no longer... We've totally revamped. The extension staff no longer touches any money. All money is deposited with office staff, and it's counted by two people, then handed to a third person, Kathy Hans, the office manager. And she deposits any amounts when they exceed $500 get immediately deposited. It's been totally revamped, including working with Benny Martinez and also using the FICMAT guidelines that are on their website. That's all been totally revamped.
I think my DOD friend here is really asking about chain of command. When we look at this
chain of command.
We can't see who are they at.
So the director is the immediate supervisor of the extensions program and the extension staff.
I think we could probably, if the board would be open to this, we could get a nod from Board President Child over
correct?
There to amend the chart to show a box with the program.
Absolutely.
Boy, it's a good thing we didn't bring the MOU forward tonight.
Now, if I may, please. And the reason I'm requesting to make this motion is because, if you will recall, at the initial request for this charter, I was the dissenting vote on it. And it was because I felt very uncomfortable with what they were proposing. They have changed their administration, and I feel very comfortable now with this charter school. So for that reason, I will move that we extend the charter for 5 years contingent upon approval of the MOUs as requested by staff and this board.
A first by Mr. Bates, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Rachel Alworth. Roll call vote on this, please. Dr. Flores?
Yes.
Dr. Lister?
Aye.
Ms. Alworth?
Yes.
Mr. Bates?
Aye.
And I'm aye also. 5-0, no abstentions.
Would the board also like to entertain a
yes.
motion to accept the programmatic audit?
Yes, I'm just going to put that forth separately.
Moved.
Moved by Dr. Lissabore.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bates. And there's no dissent. That will be a 5-0 vote. And I'd like to move roll call.
Congratulations.
Thank you for your time tonight.
See you in 5 years.
See him in a year.
No, I encourage you to go visit with him anytime.
Thank you to all the parents and children who attended.
Okay, moving on to L2, letter of support to establish an engineering program at Cal State University, Channel Islands. This is an item that was requested by Dr. Flores to have added on the agenda, and between Nancy and Stan, they were able to get it on in time. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor over to Dr. Flores and let him make a presentation on this.
First of all, I want to thank Mr. President and Mr. Kinnicky for being able to agendize this in such a short notice. It's not the way it normally operates, so again, thank you for bringing this before staff. So for a bit of background, the Cal State University system is about 25, 28, I keep forgetting the number, on systems, and Cal State Channel Islands is the newest. It is 10, 12 years old, very robust. It is a very robust university, but it is lacking an engineering program. And this is a conversation I've been having as a private citizen, as a private citizen engineer, with various individuals, various organizations, and we are actually at a very good meeting point because I was invited by Dr. Rush, the president of the university, up Sacramento to meet with members of the Higher Education Committee. I reported that out at a previous board meeting. We met with Jose Medina, who is the chair of the Higher Ed Committee, as luck would have it. Assembly Member Irwin is on the Higher Ed Committee. Assembly Member Doss Williams is on the Higher Ed Committee. And again, we started having discussions around an engineering program. Again, not to the point where we've got enough momentum that we can actually do the ask for money. So Assembly Member Irwin has submitted a request to the Assembly to the tune of $500,000 per year over 5 years, pretty much seed money to get an engineering program started. What is beneficial about this approach is a good portion of the quote-unquote engineering programs are already in place. The math, the calculus, The physics is already there as part of your master curriculum. What we're talking about is a fee of money's funds to support the actual engineering professors themselves. So again, what the assemblywoman is doing is putting together this request. What she is asking for letters of support either from individuals or organizations. And I will be taking this same request to the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers, Ventura County Chapter, the Society of Women Engineers, Ventura County Chapter, along with other companies and so forth that would be up there before this. One of the reasons that's key to mind, again, we had Naval Base, Naval Surface Warfare Center, Polonium Division come here. We had an educational partnership agreement with them. Just recall, the Naval Base is the largest employer in Ventura County. Naval Surface Warfare Center is the biggest tenant command at the Naval Base, and we are in the process of hiring engineers. We need engineers like you and I believe. So to have the ability to have an institution in our backyard that can provide a need, a pipeline, to me was just a natural fit. So what I'm asking is if this board would entertain a motion to write a letter of support to the Assemblywoman's budget request to the legislature.
Dr. Flores, in the back of the package, I know the staff has already put together a draft letter. Have you had a chance to review that? Does it meet the requirements that you would like to see sent forward?
It does, yes.
Does anybody have any questions on that letter?
No, I'd be happy to make a motion to support this letter, have the board support this letter, and I also want to add that Ventura County has two universities, neither of which have an engineering program.
Yep.
So we do not have any engineering degrees in Ventura County, which is, from what I sample my son's friends over the last 3 years, has been the most popular major amongst students taking higher math science courses, and they cannot stay in our county.
If you could just allow me one more point along those lines. Again, I've lost track of a number of presentations to high school students during National Engineers Week in February, and one of the takeaways that I leave with them is it is the highest paying major of the majors out there, and they make the comment, what about doctors and lawyers? And I'm saying it's the highest paid major with just a bachelor's degree. This year's graduates are looking at about a $60,000 to $70,000 a year salary, starting salary at a 22-year-old. And again, if we have the opportunity through this effort to give those opportunities to our students from Ventura County so they don't have to go to the other universities and so on and stay locally, they're going to pretty much work where they get their degree, so that is a huge economic driver also for our county.
Well, and as Mr. Bates reminded me, Cal State Northridge has lowered the priority of Ventura County students for Northridge admittance.
Yeah.
Due to Cal State Channel Islands. So it'll be harder for Ventura County students to get into the programs at Cal State Northridge due to our location.
Unless they're savvy enough to understand that they can get in if they pick a major that doesn't exist at Channel Islands. And the unfortunate part is so many of our students don't have that level of
sophistication.
Yeah, truly. So
I think it is extremely important that we push Channel Islands to, if they're going to expand any department, it should be engineering.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Ms. Ulrich, before you second, Ms. Ulrich, out of formality, would you mind if Dr. Flores made the first time this thing that he brought this for?
Not at all.
We'll take you as a second.
Totally.
Sorry, Doctor, was it your third?
Appropriate.
All right, so we have a first by Mr. Flores, a second by Rachel. Abstentions? Any no's? Carries on a 5-0 vote.
Dr. Floyd, do you acknowledge making the motion?
Absolutely.
Okay, just because it wasn't vocal.
With the draft letter that staff put together.
I would also like to share with the board that I, in my capacity as county superintendent, have also done similar.
Thank you, Dr. Flores, for doing this.
Great. May I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
This is all about money. And I think it's great that we're lobbying Sacramento, but I'd love to know what the reality testing is. Does Dr. Rush feel that it's out there? Because everything I hear is we're being squeezed, if that's the idea of a new program right now.
Is it out there? I'm sorry, what goes to school?
The engineering the idea of bringing in an engineering program at Northridge, it's going to take a bunch of funding that doesn't seem to be forthcoming.
One of the things, Long Beach. If I can just thank you for the indulgence, again, a traditional engineering program would have civil engineering, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and so forth. Dr. Rush's approach is he wants to target an engineering field that is unique that other universities do not have, that would have been coming to us. And so that's why he's targeting in the letter mechatronics and cybersecurity, because those are two huge areas in general, but two huge areas to our field, I mean, our geography field. Cybersecurity, mainly because, again, the name is, everything I hear about every single day is about cybersecurity. So at some point, yes, we'll ramp up to the civil, mechanical, electrical majors, but the point is start with that unique needs that we can fill right now.
Wouldn't at the end of the auspices of computer engineering?
No, because there's computer engineering, computer science, information technology, we could go on and on and on.
Out of my expertise.
Anything else for any board member?
Anything else, Mr. Manchu?
Nope, not this time.
All right, well, we've still got some future agenda items. I'll let staff worry about when they want to bring those forward. No pressure there. And our next meeting will be Friday, April 17th. I remind everybody it's an 8 a.m. meeting, budget study session. This meeting is over at 7:27.